This may be the biggest difference between parenting today and the parenting of a generation ago.
Okay.
Because short of driving, our parents rarely thought about alcohol and watching kids. But a story 2 weeks ago revealed to us that in these cases, the law can get involved. And it had, Tommy, a ton of people reach out to us after we were done, upset with the idea that they could get in trouble for drinking on the parenting job.
Mm.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So this discussion started with a story from Wayne County. A 34-year-old man and his buddy were moving stuff into an apartment. Authorities say the buddy started drinking while they were moving.
Well, that's what you do when you move. You crack open a couple of beers, man.
Standard stuff.
Yeah.
At some point, the 34-year-old man left to go to the store.
Mm-hmm.
And police say his friend, who was now intoxicated, was left in charge of his kids, or some kids.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know how many kids or what their ages were. However, authorities say the drunk friend allowed those juveniles to consume alcohol while the 34-year-old was away.
So that's assuming, then, that the kids asked for the alcohol and he let them have it?
It says allowed. I don't know if it means they asked for.
Or he just noticed they were drinking it and didn't do anything?
I don't know. It said allowed those juveniles to consume alcohol.
Right.
And that's the allegation.
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
Right.
When the 34-year-old got back, he was charged with endangering the welfare of a child.
The dad.
The guy who left.
The dad.
Right. Not the man who allegedly gave the kids or allowed them to drink alcohol. Now, by the way, police say there could be other charges pending as well, so that charge could be coming. Mm. So in this discussion, with some little research we did, we discovered you can get in trouble with the law for being drunk while parenting.
Yeah.
And although that's not surprising.
And that ain't in the car. That's just in your house.
Yeah. Tommy, it does seem that's something a lot of people never considered based on how many folks reached out to us after we shared the story. So we picked one letter we got that I think was the most relevant.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to share you some Facebook messages in a little while, too.
All right.
Because, sure, keeping kids safe is important.
Well, that's the paramount thing you got to do, Patrick.
But how far is the government going to insert itself into my family's personal business?
And what's too drunk to babysit?
One of my favorite Ribs Arkansas albums. Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we suck, arguing for being a drunk dad. Sit back and enjoy. Oh, it is a man who wrote us this letter.
Mm-hmm.
But Kimmy will be playing the part of this dad.
Okay.
Hey, Mail of the Week.
I am listening to your show, and I'm finding out the law says I'm not even allowed to drink in my own home without being arrested. If I have kids in the house, I can get in trouble for drinking while they're there. I raised 4 kids of my own, all of them successful adults. My wife and I drank around them both at the same time regularly. It was never an issue. When you're a parent, whether you're drinking or not, you have the human instinct to take care of your kids. What is the law? If I have a blood alcohol content of 0.08, can I be arrested? Can a neighbor call the police on someone with kids to get them to come and give them a sobriety test? Why not just put a device in the house all parents have to blow into every hour to make sure they're not drunk? I have the freedom to do what I want in my own home as long as I'm not hurting someone. And it's absurd that I can't drink around my kids when I want to behind the privacy of my own front door. Sincerely, Jason.
Okay.
All right.
So, first off, Jason's letter moves the goalpost a little bit here.
Mm.
There's no law that says you can't drink.
Have a cocktail.
Yeah, because he keeps saying drinking. My wife and I were drinking. Like, drinking, according to the law, was okay.
Right.
It says drunk is the problem.
When you're intoxicated.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
Legal limit.
And when you say out loud, you shouldn't be drunk while watching your kids.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a controversial statement.
No.
Like, what if something were to go wrong while you were responsible for them and you're
and
drunk?
You got to spring into action.
Exactly. Somebody gets hurt. Someone has to be driven somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you're the only adult, or both you and your partner or all the adults there are under the influence, there's a problem.
Yeah.
But, Tommy, there could be a reason why so many people took issue with this story 2 weeks ago.
Oh, sure.
No generation of parents until this current generation of parents ever considered this to be bad.
No.
Right?
Well, think of all the parties, neighborhood parties, family get-togethers, where everybody's having a drink, and you've been hanging out for hours now, and you know everybody's got a good buzz on.
I mean, Kimmy, we talked about how on nice summer days, yeah. there were times where every parent in the neighborhood
was
drunk.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, oh, there's enough parents here where everybody's keeping their eye on
we
stuff.
We got it covered.
Everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have enough drunk eyes on the ball.
And here's the thing. It was socially acceptable back then. Oh, yeah. So I'm not here to, like, chastise
our
parents.
Well, you weren't worried about being shamed for it, that's for sure.
But I'm saying, I don't even look at that now as being like, oh, my God, what terrible parents you were. I mean, everybody did it. Nobody thought about it.
Out in the open.
Exactly. So, like, I got it. Fine. Okay, that happened. Yeah. It happened. But now that we know the law.
But it seems like it's still probably going on.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, based on this news story and this guy's opinion. But, I mean, you're thinking, like, Halloween. When you're taking the kids around,
yeah.
Dad's got a beer. Some people set up the bar out in the driveway when the, you know, for the parents when they're coming around, and everybody's having fun taking in a holiday.
Sure.
No, you're right.
Nothing like candy and alcohol.
No, but I have proof, Tommy, that there are more. Like this is more common than you think.
Oh, what's that?
I have parts of three Facebook messages I'd like to read you
right.
that we got after we did this story, and the phone number is 252-WCMF 252-9263. Is it that controversial that being drunk while parenting is against the law? So, Mark wrote us,
what do you say?
Quote, if a parent can't get drunk when their kid's in the house, when can they? I can't go out to bars and leave them alone. That'll get me arrested, too. Yeah. This seems like an overreach, end quote.
So, he wants to know when he can get wasted and parent.
He says he can
only... He says wasted.
He can say... He says, essentially, he can only get drunk while his kids are around.
Yeah.
So, what am I supposed to do?
It's the kids. Hold me back, really.
Anthony wrote us, quote, is there an age I can be drunk with my child in the house? I agree, drunk with a baby is a bad idea. But once your kids are over 12, they can handle themselves if things get really bad.
No, they can't.
That's what Anthony thinks.
What's a 12-year-old going to do if things go really south at the house?
It's Anthony's opinion. Well, look, at least we can all agree.
I ain't mad at the house now. Hey.
We always try and find common ground.
All right.
At least we can all agree. Never a good idea to get drunk with a baby.
Yes.
But the best Facebook message comes from a woman named Anna who wrote us towards the end of the discussion we were having. We didn't have time to get to
it. This is Anna.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Quote. You ever try to raise kids with no alcohol? It's impossible. When those kids go to bed, I'm having a drink or two or three, depending on the day. And if they want to arrest me and lock me up, so be it. I'll get a lawyer and I'll see you in court.
Mother's a little helper.
Anna needs her mommy medicine. I love how she's yelling at me. I'll see you in court. I'm not arresting you. I am not the prosecutor here. Is it that hard to not be drunk at home with your kids?
But here's the problem with that. Do you know when you've hit the limit?
Like 0.08?
Oh. No, in your head. Okay. You're just sitting in a house because everybody thinks they're not drunk.
Okay.
So, like, you know, my limit, your limit, Kimmy's limit, all different, right?
Sure.
Like, when I've had enough. Like, you know, like that moment you start feeling the alcohol?
Yeah. The buzz kicks in.
You're probably already gone past legal.
You're right, but I would counterpoint to that.
Yeah.
Look, we rarely see these stories.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Like, rarely see these stories. And I am well aware that there are plenty of people that have a couple of drinks at the end of the night.
Yeah.
So I would assume either you would have to be really drunk.
Yes.
And even in this case, by the way, in the story that started this conversation, brought this hate mail of the week and all these Facebook messages coming in of this man arrested for leaving his kids with a person who was drunk that allowed the kids to drink alcohol, according to police. It wasn't even him just being drunk. It was the fact that he allowed them to consume alcohol, which is in the story.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you would have to be pretty drunk, I think, for police to be like, okay.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
It'd have to be so obvious.
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not trying to be like I'm better than everybody guy, because I'm not. My wife, I've always had this rule in my house, like, my wife will drink or I will drink.
But when he is not drinking.
Yeah. And that wasn't even like a law thing.
That's a smart thing to do.
I don't know. I was just growing up. I was like, okay, like one of us should be sober at all times.
Yeah.
I thought everybody did that.
Yeah.
And my eyes have been opened. By these Facebook messages and letters that we got?
But this could have been me watching nieces and nephews, though.
Okay.
Not that they would have gotten into the alcohol, but, you know.
You would have been drunk?
I was pretty good. Feeling pretty good.
I was
feeling pretty good.
Feeling pretty good. What year was that?
Oh, this had to be, when was I miserable? In the 90s.
Okay,
mid-90s.
Okay, so that's when we were kids, Kimmy. That was socially acceptable back then. Right? I don't think anyone would have said anything.
But they were living with us, and they didn't say nothing.
That's what I mean.
That was a good uncle.
No.
a juggalo.
You were a socially acceptable.
You were just there.
Yes, and I think they were happy to just have somebody in the house. Yeah. You know, because I used to start drinking around 3.
Okay, you're not. You could have just stopped, and everyone would have been like, "Okay, yeah."
I couldn't stop, Pat. Them voices wouldn't let me go.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Jay. Hey, Jay, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen and Jimmy.
What's up, man?
So another question. So if I can't drink while I'm watching my son, what about getting high while watching my son?
It's a good question. I would also assume that against the law.
You're inebriated, man.
Because you're more functional when you're high than you are when you're drunk.
Okay, I mean, that's
maybe functional.
Person to person.
Like, more functional is not functional enough to right. take care of a child, right? I mean, I don't know. No, I mean, that's a really good question. That's
I mean, you're impaired. You're impaired.
Yeah, technically.
Because, Jay, are you here to argue? And I'm not.
He wants to get high.
Some people may view that as better than the other and vice versa. Or then some people are like, well, maybe you shouldn't do either.
But it's all about your reaction time.
Do you think you are you can parent just fine while you're high, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay. So
says every stoner.
Okay, I do know there are a few exceptions of people that are like more functioning human beings while high.
Okay, but it's
never been my experience.
But you're not like kid needs help.
My wife is more functional high than she is not.
Okay, don't say that out loud, Jay. Jay, I'm gonna let you go before you incriminate yourself anymore, buddy. Thanks for the call. No, I mean, again. Like every person.
I think there may be people out there now that were parented by consistently high parents that still don't know that to this day.
That's a good point. I think the drunk thing, too, right?
Sure.
Yeah, you can make the argument both ways.
Because then nothing ever happened. Like, there wasn't a disaster where they had to spring into action where the cops came and had to see what's going on.
Well, I mean, it's also possible it's something cops weren't even considering back in the day if something were to
Could
go
be,
wrong,
yeah.
Right? Look, I would like to think that most parents today are in total agreement with the idea that you should not be drunk while watching your kids.
Yeah.
And if you are super drunk and something goes wrong, the law should step in. And I would also like to believe it's the folks who already raised their kids that were freaking out and reaching out to us, right? And even that makes sense a little bit because, like, those people feel like they're being chastised for something they never thought about,
right?
No one likes to be told they've done something wrong. No one wants to think they had some kind of hand in messing up their kid, even though every parent messes up their kid.
Yeah.
And again, like the argument that this was a standard thing that every parent did back in the day, I think is an acceptable argument. Like, you know, you didn't know.
Yeah.
You knew, but it wasn't a big deal. But just because you were allowed to do it and never really thought about how bad it could get doesn't mean it should keep happening, right?
Yeah, true.
Like, I mean, it's happened. Yeah. I'm not judging you. It's over. But let's not keep this train a-rolling when it's obvious that at least like one sober adult in the house is probably the best.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, one steady soldier.
Yeah.
Good, okay.
Yeah.
Who gets to be that steady soldier?
You go first.
All right, let's take a break. On one hand, if nobody does this, it does become a problem. The memory of these people fade away.
Yeah.
You lose some historical significance. Things just look cruddy.
Oh.
But on the other hand, if no one takes care of this, it's not like the people here are going to be offended.
Oh.
In fact, no one they know would be offended because if there were people that were worried about it, they would be taking care of it here in the first place.
So nobody has an opinion then?
Well, no, but there are people. Because
that are there.
You can't have an opinion if you're here.
Oh, you got to give it up?
Yeah, I mean, take it.
Oh.
Look, the state of New York wants you to get out this weekend and volunteer to help some strangers. Strangers that may have been dead for hundreds of years. You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. The state of New York has named April 26th, that's Saturday, Caring for Your Cemetery Day.
So what am I supposed to do at the cemetery?
They are asking New York State residents to head down to their local cemeteries and help with cleanup activities, to get ready for the spring season.
Don't they already have, like, groundskeepers that do cemeteries?
So let's talk.
Depends on maybe the cemetery? I don't know.
Because there are private cemeteries, right?
I always said every cemetery had a guy to work to, like, mow the lawn and, you know, basically like a maintenance guy.
Well, I guess, though, like, think of, like, there are some really, really old cemeteries that, do they still have somebody there maintaining and keeping up with
it? But again, Pat's, who's going to that one?
Well, but there are people that do go to that.
Well, I guess respecting the graves.
Or a historic value of...
Maybe.
All right,
so this year, there are over 75 cemeteries statewide that are participating, and they are asking folks to clean up trash, do some weeding, remove branches, get rid of old decorations, plant flowers, and scatter grass seed.
Man, that's a ton of goddamn back-breaking work.
Okay, how do you really feel about it, though?
For somebody that ain't my kin.
Okay. If you are interested, there is a place to go sign up on this state
What's
website.
It called? Suckers.net?
No, that's your mom's website. Why do you let me walk into that? Come on, man.
You're constantly walking into my mother.
Yeah, and then back out, and then back in, and then back out, and then back in, and then back out, and then back in. Doesn't take long with her.
I get it.
Okay. Kimmy, you in?
She ain't picking squat.
She was picking squat yesterday.
I know. I have to be a forced volunteer, so I guess if I have to.
But you wouldn't volunteer for it.
Of all the things to volunteer for, it's probably not the top one for me.
I couldn't get motivated if none of these corpses is kin.
Well, not so much that. It just feels like nobody's even really going to notice.
Right.
You know? Depending on how old this place is. I mean, are there people walking through it and
let them pick it up.
Okay. It is a weird catch-22.
Yeah.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Rochester loves its cemeteries.
Well, you have some ancient-ass cemetery.
I think you could argue Mount Hope is one of the most popular local tourist attractions in Rochester.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been around so long here in Rochester that most cemeteries in the area have graves that go back to like the 1800s, some the 1700s.
Oh, yeah, the birth of a nation. Buddy.
And that is history.
Yeah.
And to preserve that history, you need people to take care of
mm-hmm.
it. But on the other hand, to your point,
yeah.
it's not like you know those people.
No.
And if they had ancestors that cared about the state of their loved one's final resting place, they'd be taking care of it.
Yeah, they would.
It's not like someone is going to be deeply offended that their great-great-grandfather's grave hasn't been cleaned up. When they're the last of their descendants,
right?
Like, if it's something that you're passionate about, I guess go for it.
Are you weirded out by people that are passionate about cemeteries?
No, I understand, like, everybody's got their thing that they, you know, feel should be taken care of and maintained. So if that's your thing, go for it. I don't know if it's, like, on the highest list of priorities for people, though.
All right, so with this knowledge that New York State is named Saturday... Caring for Your Cemetery Day, looking for volunteers to go and clean up cemeteries. Do you guys find cemeteries interesting?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've been to...
yeah, I like it. Hey, my kid, I take care of nothing.
I've been to a few around the country, and they were pretty cool. Like, it was the first time I went to one in Kentucky because that fiance, mm-hmm. her dad had passed as a young man, in his 40s.
All right.
So... She took me around to his. I'd never been to one that had like all that Civil War history in a cemetery because you don't really see it up here like you do down south.
Sure, yeah.
So it was pretty interesting to walk through. And then, you know, I've been through Mount Hope's amazing, and I went to Lincoln's in Springfield.
Okay.
Because I didn't know he was buried there.
So you're now waxing poetic about the impact cemeteries can have on people.
Historically, yes, but a random cemetery. Next to a strip mall that's just old.
No, but it's funny you bring that up.
Yeah.
You bring up mall, right? There is a cemetery on Ridge Road.
Oh, it's right next to the,
Yes.
Like, and the car dealership.
You got it. But if you are stuck at a red light on Ridge Road getting mm-hmm. on 390, you can see the graves.
Yeah.
And they have graves that are...
Oh, they're ancient.
Yeah, 1800s, 1700s.
Yeah.
And whenever I'm stuck at that red light, I will always stop and read someone's gravestone.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, a cemetery is a glimpse into what happened during the time everyone was dying.
It's also weird to see how they talk about a family back then.
What do you mean?
Because the one in Pittsford, it'll say, like, the man of the house has a whole, like, his accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
Then it just says, wife of nothing.
Okay.
And then the child, you know, the man of the house gets all the respect of the cemetery. And then the other family members, not so much.
Okay, you are literally sharing all of these things that you find interesting and learn.
Yeah.
And you scream to the top of your lungs, I ain't taking care of no cemetery.
No, I ain't cleaning up if it ain't my kin.
Okay.
None of them can.
You wouldn't have been able to see those graves, though, if somebody didn't clean it up.
Right. See enough of it.
See one grave, you see them all?
Yeah. But the cemetery I'm talking about by my house now,
mm-hmm.
they got like a groundskeeper. Like, the guy's always out there mowing and picking.
Okay, it's possible that there are some public cemeteries that, like, don't bury people anymore. That's what this is. It's also possible that some of these cemeteries are so big, even if you have a crew of a couple of people, you still need help every once in a while.
Okay, get out there and help.
What's the one off of Dewey in Greece? It just goes on forever and ever and ever.
Oh, yeah, that's like that big city one.
It's huge.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can't imagine you have enough people to keep that place tidy.
But bro, how many people would it take to clean that joint up? And then they want you to, like, bring grass seed.
No,
and
it didn't say bring. It said spread.
Well, you get a spring.
Maybe they have it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here's a free. No, they want you to bring this stuff because they ain't spent.
Okay. Now here comes the
And then they want
man.
You to plant flowers.
Oh, my God. Nobody said flowers.
No.
Well, they said plant.
Quote.
Yeah, plant flowers.
It did actually say plant flowers.
I got to run over to Home Depot.
I made a mistake. No, I'm sure they have it.
Seed. Jesus
oh, my God.
Christ.
Oh, my God.
I'm $100 up in this goddamn day, and none of them corpses is my kid.
Nobody said.
Usually with these things, like, there's a couple people in charge, and they just really need the manpower to do it. But they'll provide you with all the tools and all the stuff you need.
All right.
This seems right up your alley. Like, in all seriousness, it's landscaping.
Yeah. History.
History. Probably people you went to high school with that died in the 1800s.
Like, doom and gloom tourism.
You love all of this.
Yeah, but I don't feel like doing like free work.
Okay. Are cemeteries becoming a thing of the past?
Like, probably less people are getting buried.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I guess the ones we have will
always be. Most people are getting cremated, or they're those crypts.
You mean the mausoleums?
Yeah, well, I call them a crypt. What do you call it?
I thought the crypt was the big one.
Oh, I don't know.
That's what I call
it. I always call them a crypt.
You could be right. Look, I mean,
I would think cremation is the way to go. It's cheaper. And to your point, most people do not go to visit these things.
I mean, the fact that we're having this discussion shows that people aren't going to cemeteries the way maybe they used to.
So of all the people that I've just passed in my life, of the older set, only two were buried. Everybody else got cremated.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I told my wife. Like, don't even bother buying a box. Like, there's no point.
Like my sister, same way, cremation.
Either that or stuff me. I want to be stuffed and put in the living room.
Do what?
That's every Sunday.
Like a bear. Move my hand. Arrgh! That'd be kind of funny, right? It'd be a little bit funny if you came over and there's my corpse.
Yeah.
Like a bear stuffed like Lenin is in the Soviet Union.
Okay.
Like, but here's the thing. Like, to the discussion about like not visiting your relatives.
Yeah.
I am sure that my great-grandpa is buried somewhere in town. I have no idea where.
Oh really?
But you could find out.
How?
I thought there was websites where you could.
Gravefinder?
So I know there's sites where like you can find out where your ancestors, because my brother's done it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, Duffy's a pretty common
Did you go to the
name.
Funeral? Did they die when you were alive?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But, like, I mean, his kids are gone.
Yeah.
There is no way anybody visits his grave. There is no way anybody visits my great-grandfather's grave.
Yeah. But I've got relatives in Auburn, like, from my mother's side.
Yeah.
Like, great-uncles that served in the, you know, Civil War and stuff. But I wouldn't, like, to go take that much effort to go find that stuff.
Well, that might be interesting if they served in the Civil War.
They did.
Okay.
But I, you know.
I ain't doing it.
When we got there, I found out they're deserters.
Well, he served in the Confederacy working in Auburn?
No, he just split and went to Canada.
No, but I mean, like, what happens when you're, if you get buried, right, in a cemetery, when your descendants move out of town? Right? I mean, they had the best intentions. Mm-hmm. They're just not there anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Your family's moved on.
But most people never maintain these graves.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to get to a point.
Unless it's like a recent family member, probably.
Exactly. Like, time forgets everything eventually, right? I mean, the stone is there forever, but even those stones can break.
Yeah, half of them are, like, falling over or crooked. They're like leaning one way or the other, leaning backwards like they're surprised you showed up.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Barber. Hey, Barber, how are you, buddy?
Morning, guys. I do genealogy for a hobby, and I've gone to so many different cemeteries.
What a dork.
But there's some small cemeteries are very unkept. I mean, like the grass, especially if it's a flat stone, flat to the ground, the grass just grows over it, and you can't even see the names or the dates or anything. So a lot of these little cemeteries do need a lot of, and they don't have professional people cleaning them up. Something like Holy Sepulchre, they have a crew. I mean, they got like 20 guys that they're always doing something in the cemetery.
Can I ask a question? Because you sound like you might know. I'm sorry, Kimmy. Hmm. I've heard that name for like my whole life. What's a sepulcher?
It's religious.
That's an old Bible.
I think it's Catholic.
Well, okay. Thank you.
But you are right. A lot of people being cremated, and they're being put what are called columbariums, which look like little towers, and you can fit like 70, 80 urns within a, you know, within like maybe a 10-foot radius.
Oh, stack them up, man. Let's go.
Yeah, stack them. It's like an apartment building.
All right,
what it is.
Barber.
And also, I could probably, there is a thing called Find a Grave. You are correct. There is a website called Find a Grave. And I could find your grandfather if you knew his first name and middle initial.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
I have a question. So you do genealogy for other people?
I do my own, and then I help other people out.
Interesting.
It is?
Well, no, it is.
When we were doing COVID, I did my own family tree, and like I went back as far as it could go, and then I kind of was like, oh, I got nothing to do anymore. Yeah. I kind of get it. I get it.
Yeah, but he does it for other people.
But he'll find like probably stuff about your family you didn't know about.
By the way, so you know from now on, Barber, a sepulcher is a small room or monument cut in rock or stone in which a dead person is laid or buried.
So you're laid with in the stone?
You are laid in a sepulcher.
So the sepulcher is like a stone tomb?
Oh.
Then you have like a cenotaph, which is like a monument to somebody, even though they're not buried there.
Okay, I think we've gone through the looking glass here, yeah. Barber. I was just trying to help you out.
You can find...
And then, of course, you get your pet cemeteries.
Your great-grandfather's probably buried in the potter's grave, so, you know, don't worry about it.
Okay, if that was an insult, you're too much of a dork to hurt me, so I want you to
too
know
deep,
that.
Too deep a cut there.
Your great-grandfather's buried in the potter's grave. How you like that?
That's where they throw you in the ground. They'd even put a little wooden cross over your name.
Yeah, I got it. I took a history class, Barber. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. You like that? Your great-grandfather was a ne'er-do-well.
It is funny how some people get so into that genealogy that they want to know stuff about other people or complete strangers.
But it's all connected. I mean, look, if you think about like the people that live in Rochester,
yes.
Right? Like,
it's an old town.
Exactly. And there's a pretty good chance that if you have family that lived here for a while and I have family that lived here for a while, they came across each other.
Yeah.
They worked together. They served in the military together.
Yeah, they
right?
could have,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, think about the 6 degrees of separation, I mean 3 degrees of separation for everybody that's alive in Rochester now.
Yeah.
And our population is 5 times what it was in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Yeah, probably so.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, how do you feel about those massive grave markers you see driving down Mount Hope?
What do you mean?
They call them mausoleums, the big ones.
Oh, like the famous people, the rich people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Bausch and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they worth it?
I mean, but they were people that were prominent in the community.
Oh, I think they still build them there. I think
for
the
who?
I think the, I if I am not
Who's
mistaken,
paying for that?
If I am not mistaken, well, the Glazer family.
Well,
rich,
okay, they're rich.
I think there's a Glazer one.
So
when you drive by.
Yeah, there's also a one that's not even in a cemetery, and I forget where the hell it is. It's on the east side of town, to like rich people.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're buried in there?
I don't know if they're buried there or it's like a monument marker, like this is where they lived. You know, but I mean, unless you're like, but like if you're just a rich person. Who cares?
Well, you do because you built the mausoleum.
No, but like Lincoln, I get it. Like you did like George Eastman, like rich but changed, created some history.
Okay.
Like yeah, I don't think you should have one unless you like did some history.
Yeah, but you don't really know that at the time.
Oh, no, well. You would know if a famous like George Eastman died, he was a famous guy. You know, like
yeah,
he created
he famous,
like all this wealth.
But do you think he had any idea the impact that he would actually have?
He literally elevated a whole community with his idea.
Man,
like this whole
right, but there's a lot of rich people that may be making that argument for themselves, but we don't know where they're going to fall in history.
I mean, she's not wrong. Every person with money thinks yeah. they
like Steve
anything.
Jobs.
Okay,
like would you give him one?
I if you're asking, do you have to like?
No, well, I mean, like guys that kicked off the tech revolution.
Okay, maybe I guess I find the mausoleum thing silly for anybody.
I mean. Famous people?
Yeah, why? It's just you're dead.
Yeah, but like you want to like if you want to go visit a famous like if you're out in Hollywood, you would want to see like a big statue of like your idol.
Would you? Or I mean, like I don't
see a statue. Probably.
I do get pissed off when I see famous people that have crappy like headstones.
Why?
Like I said, what are you?
That
doing?
Makes you mad.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, no, like okay, we went to Arlington. My grandfather's.
Well, that's
there.
Different. That's military.
No, understood. But what I'm saying is, yeah. There are prominent Americans that served in the military. Or people that were famous for serving in the military that just have standard Arlington graves.
Yeah.
I find that more romantic. Like, this person is just amongst everybody else.
Okay.
I mean, because that's all we end up being.
In the end, yes.
Yeah, but. So, I mean, you know, giant stone house or not, you're in the ground.
I was surprised, like, okay, so, like, take it, like, so Leonard Skinner.
Yeah.
I was really surprised, like, the monument they had for the plane crash and all that stuff was so chintzy.
Okay.
Like, nobody ever invested any money in it.
You got a bunch of Southern Rock, Florida people.
But those guys were like...
Well, they have their own graves, though, somewhere else.
Yeah, but they, again, I don't think they're very big.
What are you, Neil Young? Just cramping on the grave of...
No, I think Skinner
Southern
deserved...
Southern man doesn't need you around anyhow, buddy.
I think Skinner deserved more. I was pissed.
Change.org. That's where you go. Skinner should have a bigger
memorial. Skinner.
I think we're going to start a listener fight real quick because we talk about the cemetery cleanup. Because Barber came in here. He was talking very confident.
Well, he's all weird.
Danny says he might be wrong. He's on CMF. Hey, Danny. How are you, buddy?
Hello?
Danny, go ahead, bud.
Hey, there's something that some people don't realize about some of the cemeteries, like, in, for example, in Rochester, Mount Hope. When you go in Mount Hope, you know, there's one section where you'll see family plots of, like, 20 or 30 people, correct? And there's rolling hills and stuff like that. And then you go on the other side, and there's just a husband and wife. What people don't realize is, you know, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, you know, people were, you know, born, lived, and died here, so there's huge family plots. So they made them really good.
Okay.
But another thing that people don't realize is back in the early 1900s, people used to go there on Sundays and have picnics. That was the park.
Okay.
A cemetery was considered a park, and that's why you see all these rolling hills and ponds and, you know, stuff like that, and it is very hard to upkeep. But you look to a modern cemetery nowadays, there's hardly any trees, you know, and it's all flat and it's just grass because, you know, they don't put much emphasis in it anymore.
We don't party at the cemetery like we used to. Let's go sit on Grandpa's face.
Exactly. The entire family every Sunday, there were no parks back
then. Well, they had no entertainment either.
Let's go stare at the dead guy. Yeah. No, I get you.
Yeah.
All right, so, Danny, are you I was going to say, as it sounds like you are a cemetery enthusiast, will you be out on Saturday cleaning up?
Yeah, I'm what you would call a taphophiliac. I'm in the graves, big time.
Can I give you a little advice? Because, like, the way you talk before, it sounds romantic. When you use that term, you sound like a serial killer. Don't ever call yourself that again.
Yeah, it had a really pervy element.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
No, I travel all over the country. I do find a grave, but, you know, find a grave, it's reliable, but I wouldn't count on it all the time because sometimes, you know, find a grave is kind of like Wikipedia. Anybody can go on there and make a find a grave.
So true,
and,
Pat. You know, they ruined it.
They can put their, you know, the loved one in a different cemetery. You're not 100% sure that it's in that cemetery.
Zombies is probably.
So,
all right, yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. Danny.
You know, it's a hit or miss.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
That's why you don't want to go to the cemetery, folks.
Who knew there were so many people this deep into it?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to break a lot of hearts.
What happened?
It's a dream. It's a dream for a lot of men. You have it as a kid, so you got it on the back end, and now you feel really good.
So what happened?
It's gone, man. It's all gone. You're hanging out in the breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Quick one, because we are super late.
Okay.
But this story comes to us from Ontario County. Two fire departments had to be called for a car fire yesterday around 3:15.
Oh, wow.
The car fire was a classic 1969 Chevy S Nova.
Oh, my God.
There wasn't an accident. It doesn't seem there was any foul play.
So this thing was like sitting in a barn or something?
Don't know.
Oh, something.
No, the fire department says it was a mechanical fire.
Oh. So was it running?
I don't know, but it sounds like the car was operational because it was in a barn. It wouldn't just burst into flame.
A 69 Camaro? Chevy Nova?
Yeah.
Okay.
S Chevy Nova.
Yeah.
Authorities say when they got to the scene,
the
car was fully engulfed in flames.
Oh, God.
And the car was owned by a 69-year-old man.
That makes sense.
Which makes the story even worse.
Yeah. So that was his baby.
Oh!
He worked on it his whole life.
Or just got it after waiting all those years to get his hands on
it. Yeah. But, you know, he tinkers with it. He knows what he's doing.
Well,
he set the timing on that thing.
It burst into flames, man. I don't know if he knows what he's doing. Why does this break my heart so much? Right?
Yeah.
Well, it's got to break your heart for multiple reasons. One, that it's a rare thing already.
But his whole life.
Two, that you know that's been somebody's pride and joy
for
some time. Yeah.
But it's also what made him cool.
Well, in his head. Yeah.
Yes, but that's all that matters,
yes,
right?
You're right.
That, like, his whole identity went up with that car because he was muscle car guy.
Yep.
What's he going to do on Thursday nights this summer?
No, I mean,
Just sit there and weep in a folding chair at Tom Walls?
No, but think about that. Like, if he is in this car community and this is
car. He's in the community.
Okay,
sure.
Right? And that car not existing
takes
out a huge chunk of the time you spend with people.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, it's his life.
Oh, God.
It's his hobby. It's cool.
Well, for you again.
What?
I mean, it's a nice car and everything. I feel bad for him.
Oh, I do too.
I don't know if I'd be impressed by like that car driving down the street.
Oh, I would.
I know you, but like I said, this is a you generation thing.
Yeah, your generation doesn't appreciate the old muscle cars.
I mean, I'm not mechanical, so
I'm not either. But I can appreciate what it is.
Well, because you were told to like them, man, from Big Motors, man.
Well, that's when Nixon passed the Muscle Car Act of 72.
What'd that sound like?
I'm gonna say right now, muscle cars are good, and these hippies that are avoiding the draft will be run over by muscle cars.
And he had to flip it over because of the Woodrow Wilson Anti-Muscle Car Act of 19... fill in the blank.
Well, I must say, I'm not too familiar with a muscle car. In my day, we didn't have cars. We had to walk to the sandwich shop, and, you know, we would eat a clam sandwich, and it would be rancid, and then you'd get the trots, you know, and it was quite a thing where you'd have to go soak your bottom in the river. And that's why the fish tastes like that.
The most heartbreaking part of this, okay, maybe not that? The most, because the most heartbreaking part is this 69-year-old man.
I'm going to hug the guy.
Losing his 1969 Chevy Nova in Ontario County after it burst into flames yesterday, had to be put out by two fire departments. I mean, a big sad part of this, too, is, you know, these cars, the longer time goes on, the less there are of them.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. It's one less Chevy Nova.
And some of these things go for big money now.
Yeah, do you watch that show on Sunday morning?
Oh, my God. There's some of these rides go for hundreds of thousands of dollars now.
We're also forgetting that, like, that had to be part of that guy's community. And
yeah, when you were on the phone, we were just talking about
that. Oh, yeah, the muscle car. Yeah, they hang together. Yeah, these guys talk. They hang out at the burger joints on the weekends or Thursday nights.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this question. Yeah. So, you know, car bursts into flame. I'm sure insurance is going to cover this. You don't have a car like that without all of the insurance possible.
Yeah, probably, I guess.
Do you think you get that money back, though? Like, all of it?
Well, let's say you get enough where you can get back in.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Do you go get another one, even though yours just burst into flame?
You're like, not going to be able to replicate it, though.
Well, I don't know.
But you lose your lover and get another.
But I would also be scared. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, something went wrong here, clearly. Would you want to do that again?
Pretty rare, though.
I don't know.
I would think a guy like that wants another ride, but his age, he may just not have the energy to do it anymore.
That's the saddest part of the
whole
thing.
I mean, those cars are work, man. You need to maintain them.
Well, that's why they're so rare.
Yeah.
We also don't know if there was somebody else in line to get that car.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Oh.
Oh, you got to call your son.
Or somebody counting on money when they flip that car.
Yeah. But that always goes to your oldest son.
Well, if he had a kid. We don't know if he had kids.
Every guy I know that has these cars knows who's getting that car.
Okay. No, I thought if you had multiple kids, you're just getting rid of the car, splitting the cash.
I don't know.
In an Italian household, the Eldorado goes to the oldest son. So Tony gives it to little Tony. And when little Tony has a Tony, then that Tony gets it.
I will listen.
It's the passing of the Tonys.
The Tony torch, if you will. If you know this 69-year-old
man. Oh, you got to call him. He's going to get, this is going to sound
terrible. No, don't you dare say anything horrible.
He will get more flowers today.
Don't do it. No, we got it. Don't finish that
sentence. You know what I'm saying.
If you know this man who's
He'll get more sympathy over this.
Shut up.
They're going to check in on him.
If you know this 69-year-old man whose 69 Chevy S Nova burst into flame in Ontario County yesterday, give him a hug for us.
Oh, absolutely.
Say, this one's from the break room.
Mm-hmm.
And then gently caress his back because Tommy's the one giving him the hug.
Feeling the guy up. Leave him alone.
Trying to do what you would have done.
I'm not touching the guy.